Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry. Well, we just talked about the day before September 11th, 2001, and memories of that day. We want your memories, too, of course, at 8778-MY-TAKE. It was a Monday. America had no idea what was ahead, or at least how could they? Maybe some people in the intelligence community had an inkling. They certainly had no inkling that it would be tomorrow. Of course, everything changed on Tuesday, and those changes were the most dramatic in the first year and a half following the attacks on the World Trade Center. We're talking now about changes to national security, war footing, and policies that really changed the cultural and political face of America, probably for a generation. There's a book called 500 Days, Secrets and Lies in the Terror Wars. Documents those first 18 months right after 9/11 in 2001. The author, Kurt Eichenwald, is here with me in studio. Hello again, Kurt.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, after all of this time and so many things that happened in the intervening years, the Iraq War, Afghanistan, renditions in Poland that we've talked about already, so many things happened. Why write about just the first 500 days? Why was that the most important period to you?
Well, it's interesting. I started with a plan for writing a book about the full 8 years of the Bush administration and its counterterrorism policies. And what I found after a couple of years of reporting was that really everything of importance, every decision, every action that played out took place in those first 500 days. And so in order to tell the full story, in order to tell people the things that they didn't know, that they don't know to this point, I really needed to bear down on that period. And that's what I've done. And the whole idea is to give people a picture, not just of the Bush administration, but globally, what was happening in Britain, what was happening in Italy, and how all those pieces come together.
People have heard pieces about some of the things that happened immediately after 9/11, the Bush administration turning its eyes towards Afghanistan, also pressure concerning an invasion of Iraq, which then, as we know in retrospect, mounted quickly, wiretapping, all of these different things, all the different pieces that eventually came into place, things that people don't know. What's the most glaring thing that nobody knows about those first 500 days after all the reporting that's been done?
There are a bunch of things. I mean, one of the ones that I found most disturbing is that there was a book, something called the Manchester Manual, which was called the Al-Qaeda Training Manual, that the Bush administration used as a basis for a lot of the decisions it made. And you'd hear about them in criminal cases. You'd hear about this book at Guantanamo. You'd hear about it constantly. And the most shocking thing to me was discovering that, in fact, this Al-Qaeda training manual had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. It wasn't an Al-Qaeda training manual. It was something that was put together by an Egyptian group in the early 1990s before Al-Qaeda even had any real power.
Was that known to officials?
No.
Who leaked word, or were they fooled?
They were. I think one of the problems was they found it on the computer of somebody who was associated with Al-Qaeda. So I think the presumption was, well, if he has it, that's what it is.
Right.
So they based policy on something that had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda.
Now, I want to turn to an episode that a lot of people are familiar with in a way. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is still in U.S. custody. He is the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, at least the operational part of them. He's currently in Guantanamo Bay, still awaiting trial, which is a complicated situation. But you go into exhaustive detail, not only about the treatment of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, but the information that was gleaned from the notorious waterboarding sessions and his treatment there. I want to read briefly from the book because it sets up a fascinating part of the book on the treatment of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And I think this is in Poland, in a secret prison where he was being held. Sheikh Mohammed's cell had no windows, denying him any perception of night and day. Bland and uninviting meals were served at ever-changing intervals. The hum of white noise was pumped incessantly through a speaker. Interrogations were conducted irregularly because the point was to make sure that he knew he wasn't in control of even the most basic parts of his life. Some of these details were fascinating to me about the extent to which American officials went before the 189 reputed waterboarding sessions to break Khalid Sheikh Mohammed down.
Well, I mean, it's one of the things about 500 days is that people, you know, people know that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was captured. People know that he was waterboarded. People argue about what did he say. And what you have here is, you know, a very vivid depiction of exactly what happened in his capture, exactly what he said to the Pakistanis after he was captured, because the Pakistanis played a huge role in that capture. What he said to the Americans, how he was treated, where he was taken, what it looked like. And in the end, you get a much more vivid understanding. Actually, you get the first understanding of what the system was and how it worked for capturing, detaining, and interrogating high-level al-Qaeda captives.
Now, you also say that the most important thing about the information gleaned from KSM, not so much what he said, but the sheer volume of intelligence, that it led U.S. officials to an enormous amount of operational ability. Can you explain a little bit of that?
Well, one of the things, you know, people all want to argue that waterboarding worked or waterboarding did not work. And the truth is, even the CIA says, we don't know. You got information from him, but at no point did Sheikh Mohammed say, let me tell you everything about al-Qaeda.
Long as the waterboarding stops.
Right.
Right.
It's a much more sophisticated thing. You know, he would identify an individual because he'd been bluffed into thinking that the CIA already knew this. And Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is an arrogant man like you would not believe. And so he always wanted to seem smart. Well, he gives them a piece of information. That piece of information is circled around to other detainees. They cross-check it with some other information. They come back to him. And it was really like putting together a puzzle. And what's described in the book is how information from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed played a decisive role in the destruction, or at least temporary destruction, of the largest Southeast Asian Islamic terrorist group that was affiliated with al-Qaeda, a very important group.
Islam al-Jamia,
yes,
is that group. Well, Kurt Eichenwald, I wish I could ask you about where we stand now and the so many years since the first 500 days. We don't have time. And also, you didn't write about it. What you wrote about was 500 Days, Secrets and Lies in the Terror Wars, a fascinating look at the decision points, what President Bush calls decision points, right after the attacks on 9/11. That book is available now. Kurt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.